Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
Hey, Fish Tank listeners, Alvaro Freitas here, CEO of Casabella Design Group and host of the Renovation Revolution podcast. Look, every great football team needs a quarterback, someone who reads the field, calls the play, and leads the drive. That's what I do on your renovation, from kickoff to the final whistle. Whether you're dreaming about a bathroom upgrade, building that bonus room for your just one more week brother-in-law, or teaching you how not to be that pain in the ass client, we cover it all. This is an HGTV flop. It's real talk from a contractor who's been in the dust, the drama, and the demo. So grab a cold brew or un cafecito if that's more of your vibe and join me for the renovation revolution wherever you get this podcast. Follow the show and I'll see you in the huddle.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Trap OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dog fans, number one. One, of course y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. This is Seth Levitt live right here, the Casabella Design Group studios and the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. And as always, I am joined by the toughest live podcaster Dan Marino ever played with. He is OJ McDuffie. Juice, the gang's all back together again.
You damn right, man. You damn right, Big Seth. We back in the building, baby. You know what I mean? And it's good to, you know, see Chad with the guns out. Perk with the pinky
guns
out.
Guns out. Let's go.
Perk with his pinky out. You know what I mean? Baby. And then Savak in super high def. It's going to be fun tonight.
It's going to be a great, great evening. And those are the intros. We don't even need to – I don't need to do that anymore. Thank you for that. So Perk joined in. He said he's had enough of Chad having all the fun. And right. Perk poured him a glass as well. Are you guys sitting like – is he in the living room and you're in the – like, are you guys together?
We're actually on different sides of the island. Right, we're side by side.
That's battleship. It looks like you're playing battleship, right?
Exactly. I'm actually on the Italian side. I got my Chianti here.
Great choice. Great choice.
Yeah.
Very nice. You know, I called Perk earlier today, and he was at Publix, so I think he was looking.
We're shopping is a pleasure.
Yeah. Actually, this Chianti is from La Viva Pasta Shop on North Miami Beach. That's where I go for my fresh pasta. They had a bottle of Chianti. They say it was the house favorite. So I got it, man. I got it. So it's pretty okay. Decent. Pretty decent.
That's a shout out right there, Perk. Give me one of the sponsors.
Yeah, I'm hoping somebody steps up, right?
Well, yeah. We are too, Perk. We are too.
Publix, right. La Viva, somebody. Somebody.
Like the 2026 Miami Dolphins. We're hoping somebody steps up.
Steve Ross.
That's exactly right. Well, that's who we're here to talk about, are these 2026 Miami Dolphins and maybe a few blasts from the past. So, you know, I guess the most newsworthy item that's coming up is that the Dolphins rookie camp, the first rookie mini camp, will take place on Friday, right? Does it start on Friday, Perk?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And our friend Omar Kelly is on record as saying that rookie minicamp is the biggest waste of time that's out there. Something I'm paraphrasing. He said that experience was the worst experience or meaningless, whatever it might be. Perk, you feel differently. You feel differently about rookie minicamp than your peer there in Omar Kelly.
I do. And y'all know Omar is my boy. We worked together for 6 years covering the Dolphins with the Sun Sentinel. But Omar can be full of shit sometimes. I can say that. That's my boy. But look,
I love it.
You know what? Rookie mini camp, a lot of these camps are about babysitting, right? That players don't really need to be there that amount of time. However, there's always something productive players can get out of it. And it's you get out of it what you put into it. And so really, again, you know, with me, with Sully and Half this year, it's not about the victories, it's making sure you have the right players. So this rookie mini camp is about who's going to be the first one in line, who's going to be raising his hand in the classroom, who's going to be showing those leadership qualities, who's going to be making the most of an opportunity that you could otherwise blow off. That's when you know you have the right guys. And this is all going to be a test for Sully and Half and these players. How they keep saying we've got guys who are chasing the carrot, the veterans who are on the one-year contract, the rookies who have an opportunity to be part of a rebuild. This rookie camp will open some eyes for Sully and Half. It'll put some guys temporarily ahead of some other guys. Who wants it? Who's going to sacrifice? Who's going to show that they're into it? It's really not about who lines up where, is what do you show these coaches through your effort? I think that's a big part of this rookie minicamp.
Yeah. You know, Perk. Yeah. And sorry, Big Seth. You know, Perk, you know, first impressions are important, man.
Right.
They really
right.
are really, right. really important right. when it comes to stuff like that, you know, and they can go by all the stuff that, you know, these kids are great at preparing for the interview at Combine. They're great at preparing for Combine. They're, you know, they've talked to all the people around these kids, and these kids say, which college program has said, no, this kid's an awful kid, don't take him. I don't think that's since no one. You know what I mean? I think they want all the kids to get drafted. And then we
I'm thinking of an asshole when you at your college. If the coaches would say that about you.
Right. So they gotta figure it out right away with these guys, man. You know, and so I think that you're right, man. I think that, you know, the little things are going to mean the most right now until we can figure out, you know, what kind of football players they can be at this level. But, I mean, I'm excited to see what, you know, when you get that many draft picks and you get that many UDAs, UDFAs, you know, it can be interesting to see who does step up to the top, man. All these guys are supposed to be leaders. We'll see how well they lead in this camp. And who takes charge, man?
Right.
And, you know, who's going to sit back and let somebody else do it, or who's going to take charge of certain things, being like you talk about, first in line, first to do this, first to do that, you know, taking notes. Anybody falling asleep this mini camp? Mm-hmm. I hope not. That's going to be a big problem, you know. So we'll see where they line up, literally and figuratively, when it comes to some of the things that these guys are going to be paying attention to other than ball right now.
Juice, how – quickly do you notice that as a player? So actually I have two questions for you. As a veteran player, obviously you wouldn't be at rookie minicamp, but once the rooks and the vets are together, how quickly do you notice the rookies that aren't timid, that step up, that it doesn't look too big for them? Like, do those guys stand out? And is there a fine line between a guy thinking his stuff doesn't stink versus a guy just showing up and being ready to kind of take the next step in his career?
Well, I'm going to tease my, I tried to tell you, I've got some things to talk about when it comes to that sort of thing.
My bad.
At the same time, though, no, it's all good. At the same time, at the same time, you know, these guys, this is their best opportunity to step up as leaders.
Right.
Because when they get to training camp or when they get to OTA, whatever it is, there's some already established leaders on this football team. So it's hard to get in where you fit in as a youngster. But when it comes to something like this, this is a time right now to build your future as a leader on this football team.
Yeah.
I think as a leader, you know, so I think that, you know, those guys have this opportunity because I'm sure when they get in with the veterans, they're going to be a lot less vocal in terms of, you know, things they're saying, and they still might jump up to the front of line. All I tell these guys to do is keep jumping to the front of line, man. Don't tell these veterans to slow down. Don't let these veterans tell you to slow down, you know, relax, Rook. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, grind these dudes out, man. Make the vets work. Everybody on this football team is not established because it's a whole new regime.
So they get the upper hand when it comes to some of the stuff out there on the field that these other guys don't really have. And I think they should take advantage of that and then carry that on to when all the other guys come in.
Yeah. I mean, that makes all the sense in the world. Do you have any memories from your rookie minicamp?
Yeah, Seth. I told you it's going to I tried to tell y'all.
I mean, okay. All right.
Why are you trying to get in my shit, man?
Get your hands out of my pocket. All right. All right. So then I'm going to go back to Perk then. Do you have any memories covering since going back to this Omar thing? Do you have any memories of covering a rookie minicamp where somebody jumped out and you were like, oh, wow. Let's see if he does that. And then a guy just continued to be that dude and became a player. Like, were you spot?
I don't know if I have any specific memories. I do have memories of two guys. Tater Cole, who stuck out to me as an undrafted free agent right away. This was a guy who looked like he belonged. On the other end of the spectrum, there was Devontae Parker, right, who big catch radius and all this kind of stuff. And when the pads came on and the lights came on, he was never there. Devontae would go into the third quarter with one reception for 16 yards and the team is losing by 21. And then all of a sudden he ends with 7 for 89 and the team lost by 14. You know,
damn. So
that's the truth. I have nothing against Devontae, but that's the truth.
Herb, so, we're trying to get DVP in the fish tank, man. You're killing us.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I always like them, if that matters. right? No disrespect, right? Right? That's that line. No disrespect, Devontae.
Right, right.
But
no offense.
Right, exactly. It's a funny thing, though. I think that everything at this time of year matters. But nothing at this time of year matters, right? And so it's one of those things where, like I say, you need to be first in line and the smartest kid in the classroom among the rookies, but nothing really matters until it's Sundays in September and October and November. So it matters, but it doesn't matter. But you have to keep proving yourself time and time again because every day is a new hurdle. There's a new level to climb. And so that's why I do think rookie minicamp means something because like you said, this is your first chance to make that first impression on coaches. And while what you do today might not matter on December 3rd, it sets the stage for you to get there. You know, you put a day in the bank and you keep building that way. And that's why I think this matters in rookie minicamp. So the things that you know, you see necessarily on Friday, they're not going to matter, but they do matter greatly, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I agree.
You co-sign Juice?
I co-sign that.
I mean, is that an okay question for me to ask, or am I messing up?
Yeah, that's cool, Big Seth. You know, just you know, keep it. You know, Chad, you're a lawyer, Chad.
Oh shit.
I mean, the less you say, the better off, man. You know what I mean? The less you say, the better off. Depending, and then the lawyers like Chad are gonna try to drag more and more out of you, you know, until you incriminate yourself, indict yourself, or you know what I mean, or you let some other stuff in that was already eliminated when you guys already talked about this ain't gonna be allowed in. So, right? Am I lying, Chad?
Plead the fifth. Plead the fifth, bro. You know that. You don't talk to anybody without me around. This is
right.
The only time.
You know I know.
The only time.
You're here. I figured.
this is supposed to be a safe zone.
That's how you get set up, Perk. Don't ever. Nothing's on the record, Perk. We know about you cats too, man. Everything's on the record, man.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let me move on to the next thing then. Because this isn't any good. Hopefully, this doesn't get me in anybody's. I tried to tell y'all. So the Dolphins. I mean, look, we're at the stage where there isn't typically a lot of news.
There we go, Chad.
But the Dolphins. they had roster moves. And yeah. The hatchet was already swinging. You know, seven guys, yeah. Including the great Tabor Pepper, who ended the John Denny era. But Tabor Pepper, Derek McClendon was one I know Kirk and I were talking about, you know, and a handful of other guys that were waived for one reason or another. I mean, it's kind of early for all that to happen, but I guess they got the draft picks and they started to realize that certain bodies aren't necessary. Perk, what are your thoughts there? No major news, but – can you share with the group what you were saying to me that it did kind of show us a little bit of insight as to where this squad, you know, this new regime is at from a mindset?
Yeah, no major news, but you know, like we were saying, that things matter. Everything matters. And when you see guys like Derek McClendon and Isaiah Johnson cut, and you can say it's for failed physical or whatever, I go back to attitude, you know, and you look at this house cleaning, and there's not a lot of holdovers from the last regime. Some of it is salary, some of it is age, but a lot of it you have to think is attitude, mindset, mentality, that these guys are just not what we're looking for. And I thought D-Mac had a good mindset and attitude. I thought Isaiah Johnson did. He's a long cornerback. He was a guy who started out at an Ivy League school at Columbia. He played some corner. He played some safety. I don't know. I'm not saying that it was mindset and mentality with these two specifically, but I look at this house cleaning and I just think it's beyond talent. I think it's beyond skill. These guys are trying to get the right players in there. Remember that record doesn't matter this year. It's right. You want the right guys for all the right reasons. And it leads me to think that a lot of these cuts are mindset things. Again, I'm not saying specifically that was the case with Tabor Pepper or with Isaiah Johnson or with Derek McClendon, but it makes you wonder. They're just cutting ties with these guys, and it's guys that you looked at a time and you thought, this guy's got some potential. He's young. He's not expensive. They're cutting ties with him, but I think above all else, they're getting the right kind of guy in this program. And I think that a lot of these cuts and a lot of these roster moves are emblematic of that. That's what it gets back to.
Perk, I have a question for you real quick. How much do they know about these guys already? You know, I get it if it was like McDaniel's regime and all those guys. And
yeah.
Perk, I mean, and Chris Greer, but how much do they know about these guys with the limited access to them they've had so far?
Juice, that's the thing. They don't, but I think they see signs every day, right? Are you coming in early? Are you staying late? Are you picking up the offense? Are you paying attention in class? Are you sitting at the back of the line for everything? Yeah. Are you busting your butt in the weight room? All of these things are things that new coaches look for, and I think these guys, Sullivan and Hass, specifically look for. It's a big priority around there, the mindset, the mentality, the attitude. You know, are you the right man for the job? That is really a driving force behind this regime change, behind this rebuild, and I don't think that you can understate that. And so that's why, again, going back to this rookie mini camp, it matters. It's not going to matter on, you know, November 23rd, but it's going to matter on May 10th and May 15th and June 2nd. So I hope that these rookies understand that. I hope they understand they've got an opportunity. These dudes are searching for people. They don't want to look stupid. Yeah. Sully and Half don't want to look stupid. So if you impress them, you're gonna do a lot. And I can't help but think, again, the guys that get released, for some reason, you didn't impress them sufficiently.
Right. And also, I mean, with 13 draft picks and I don't know how many UDFAs, there's probably some positions that, you know what, we're going to give the young guys the shot first.
Right.
Out with the old and then with the new, no matter what, you know. And if those guys, if they want an opportunity back, they probably have an opportunity to get back. I'm sure, like, not too many teams are knocking down doors to get those guys on their roster. So, I think with 13 draft picks and a ton of UDFAs, I think it's probably, you know, about numbers at times as well.
Yeah, it's got to be. And like you said, Juice, the way that draft falls, if all of a sudden you have a certain amount of players in the position room that you didn't have when you signed player X, then maybe we don't need this guy. But going back to your point, Perk, is that pass rusher is not exactly a position of depth.
Great point.
For the Derek McClendon thing, that is one where you kind of go, interesting. But, you know, they know what they want and they know what they don't want. And it just seems like a lot of what was here, they didn't want. So that that part is pretty clear. There are two different philosophies. One is what we're seeing now and one is what we saw for the previous, however many years, depending on which regime you want to lump together. So Savox, like, don't go there. Did anybody hear Jeff Hafley or see Jeff Hafley on Richard Sherman's podcast? Did anybody watch that? Listen to it?
Yes.
What did you think of that interview? Oh, you didn't see it yet?
I have not seen it yet. I know my coworker wrote about it, but I haven't seen it yet. Go ahead, Juice. I'm sorry, Perk.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really good. And the fact that he and Richard Sherman have such a great relationship, I thought he was super open about so many different things and what he's looking for, you know, when it comes to his organization, when it comes to his football team, man. And, yeah, there was a lot of really good stuff on that interview, man. And I was really impressed with Richard Sherman. I thought he was well-prepared, had a lot of really good questions. I was, you know what I mean? I thought it was
Stanford
really
guy, man.
Yeah, I get that part. Yeah, I get that. You know what, though, man? There's some guys that go to Stanford just can play ball. They're not really as – hell, I had an offer from Stanford, shit.
And you would have been – you would have been
– take advantage of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So –
there's certain cats that you've played with that we know no matter what at Stanford offense, they were not going to cut it there, okay?
Yeah, but, yeah, Seth, I mean, you can talk a little bit more about it, man, but, damn, you know, Half was so good about, you know, what he wanted from the team. He talked about a lot of guys he's coached and how he can want guys like that on his football team, and most of those guys are potential or already Hall of Famers. But at the same time, though, it was just a fun experience for me to hear him be so open and honest about everything when it comes to this team, you know, and then what he expects from this team right now. I mean, he's not half releasing waiting, Seth.
You know, yeah, I mean, you saw that with Brian Flores, right? You know, right. Like, okay, yeah. You want right. to tank. I get we're not very good, but we're going to fight our asses off. Like, coaches, any coach that's worth a damn is not going out there saying, well, we don't need to win this year.
Right, exactly right, man. And why should they lower our expectations? Our expectations are already low, but we tell them, like, you know, and when he says we're trying to win, we're like, oh, okay, well, we don't expect much from you, but same time, though, we know that he's going to do everything he can to make this team successful every single Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever day they play the league.
All the days.
Every day of the week nowadays, you know. And so, I really loved that interview, man. It was a fun interview for me. It's really enlightening. And Travis told us, Travis Wakefield, our guy Travis told us, man, you got to check this out. And it was really, it's worth a listen. Anybody wants to listen to about 45 minutes of really good Dolphins, the turnover talk, from him coming here and some of his past history stuff, that's a really good listen right there for Richard Sherman.
Yeah, I agree with you, Juice. I thought there were three things that stood out to me because there were a lot of things that we've heard. You know, we've gotten to know a lot about Jeff Hafley in a short period of time, which is what happens when you get new coaches and they jump on all the shows. But three things stood out to me. One was indeed the relationship he had with Richard Sherman. I feel like Richard Sherman's a guy that if he didn't like a coach, you would know he didn't like a coach. And these two clearly – it didn't seem like he was just kissing his ass because he wanted him on the show. They clearly had a strong relationship. And we saw that when Micah Parsons had, you know, Micah Parsons is another guy. He doesn't mince words. If he doesn't like you, you probably know Micah Parsons doesn't like you. And he had great things to say about Jeff Hafley. So it seems like these players certainly and like great players hold him in high esteem. So that stood out to me. I like the question. He said, with 13 picks, was there anybody that you were really surprised was available? Is that Micah?
There you go.
Chad Van Horn dropping. When was nice. That taken, Chad?
That's Richard Sherman, actually.
Oh, okay. I couldn't see that. Yeah, Richard Sherman. There you go.
Seth, they don't all look alike, so chill out with that.
There's nothing about that that I'm comfortable with.
I would never think that.
I could not see the
And every time they come in for Thursday Night Football, and this is Fish Tank Live only, we're going to talk about this. They go to the same restaurant in Fort Lauderdale. Does anybody know what restaurant that is?
Is it Moderano?
Okay. Moderano?
Casa D'Angelo. And they run out that whole back room for the staff.
Okay.
And my wife spoke to Al Michaels for probably 10 minutes. And it was incredible, and I got some time with him, and brilliant guy. So nice. I hope I'm not blowing up their spot, but they were all gentlemen. They all took time, took pictures with everybody, talked with everybody. But now there's gonna be a line outside the restaurant.
I just hope we get Thursday night games, Chad.
Season.
You know,
we don't have to worry about that this season. You're safe.
I meant no disrespect by that, but yeah, that was disrespectful. I didn't even think about that.
I wish I would have been Micah though, Big Seth, because you know, Micah does not like me right now because I busted his ass in cornhole at a Penn State tailgate.
I heard.
He bullied me. You know, he made me switch sides mid-game because he thought I had an advantage, and I still busted his ass, man. So
good.
I love it.
You know, and watching Micah throw out that first pitch in Japan, I see why I busted his ass in cornhole. He can't throw for nothing, man.
We're going to talk about Malik. First pitches in a minute, too. We're going to get there. I tried to tell y'all. Getting back to this interview, so that stood out to me. But he talked about the question was asked about what player were you most surprised was available out of 13 draft picks. And he said Jacob Rodriguez. He said a player of that pedigree that had the kind of season that he had, the leadership qualities, the playmaking ability, one of the best defensive players in college, you know, for him to still be available there. So, you know, and then he talked about other guys, Proctor and what have you. I thought the Proctor one was interesting because I don't think anybody was surprised he was still there, but he did pump up who he thinks Proctor can be, but that part was interesting. But what really jumped out to me, and we'll go back to Pittsburgh for Chad on this one, was they asked him about analytics, and he said, look, I want to know the analytics, but I'm also going to I'm going to make decisions based on my gut. And then sometimes guys want to go for it. But then the defensive-minded guy, the guy who came up under Dave Wannstedt at the University of Pittsburgh, came out and said, hey, if we can punt it, we're going to punt it. And that kind of flew under the radar, but all I could hear was Dave Wannstedt saying, punting ain't a bad thing, you know? Right? You know it, Perk. Run it, punt it. Punting ain't a bad thing. That's what Dave told us. That was his offensive philosophy. And so I don't know. The apple may not fall far from the tree on this one. And you know, we got used to Mike McDaniel. He'd be 4th and 32 on your own 17. And he was going to go for it because he felt like, you know, we couldn't let the game get away from us.
That's that defensive-minded mentality, man. You know what I mean? That drives me absolutely nuts. It's not about analytics, man. But he also did say it's about the feel of the game, too. But he said he don't want to be backed up on the 30 either. You know what I mean? Especially with today's kickers he was talking about, where it's, you know, it's one first down in your field goal range. You know? So it's like there are a lot of things there. But all this punting stuff, man, I'm an offensive guy, Big Seth. I say we go for it on 4th and 5 from our own 20, man. Let's go, man. What are we doing, man? Points, Juice. You know? Yeah, come on, man.
You become the offensive coordinator of the Chargers, Juice.
But Juice, you already had three down. You already had three downs. You can't get
right.
3.3 yards a down. Like, come on.
And you great point, Chad. That's great point, Chad. But I got a great play drawn up for 4th and 5 already, though. I've been trying to get to this situation.
You should have used it earlier. You should have used it on second down.
No. They wouldn't expect it at that point, right? Big Seth, exactly. That's what I want. I wanted to relax out there. You know, I mean, I got a play design. It worked 3 weeks ago against a team that played against, you know, the Raiders. You know, it's going to work this week for sure.
That's why he had a specific down and distance already.
Yeah, that's tell them. That's right. Look, I'm with the defensive coaches. I'm with Flo. I'm with Half. I'm with Mike McDonald. I'm with Mike Vrabel, although that's not popular right now. I'm with the defensive coaches, man. I haven't seen the Half interview with Richard Sherman. Again, like I said, David Ferones wrote about it, but I like the defensive coach mentality. I don't like what Philbin and Gase and McDaniel brought from the standpoint of they all thought they were quarterback whisperers. And I've said this before that you know, they thought they could turn Tannehill into Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. They thought they could turn Tua into Patrick Mahomes. I hope with Malik Willis that they look what Seattle did with Sam Darnold, and they look at what Philly has done with Jalen Hurts, and they say, we're going to build a complete team. It's not going to be the quarterback has to be the leader, right? He's the single most important player on the team. but make us seven or eight key plays. Don't carry the offense every single play, every single week. We're going to win with our edge rushers, with our cornerbacks, with our run game. We're going to win every single way that we can because we have a complete team. I hope that's what the Dolphins do with Malik Willis. And I think a defensive coach is more likely to do that than an offensive coach.
Yeah, that's a great point, Perk. And I'm going to tell you this. I mean, I'll be just messing around playing, man. I don't mind us punting away, man, to make these dudes go to distance. I really don't, man. Yeah. It's like we give up way too many short fields via turnover or via mistake on fourth down or whatever it might be. But make teams work. And I think when you got a defensive-minded head coach, I think he's going to make some teams work, you know. And that's always important. One thing you mentioned one person – just now, Perk, that I really wanted to talk about from that interview as well, Big Seth, was Malik Willis. Half had a chance to talk about when Malik Willis was running the scout team for the other team, whatever the quarterback they were playing against that week, Malik Willis was able to mock or imitate whatever they were doing, basically. So if you had a running quarterback, Malik Willis did that in practice. Half spent a lot of time with him in prepping for, like, you know, scout team. You know, if there's a guy that's set in the pocket, Malik Willis did that, and both of those situations, he was successful a lot of times against that defense. So I think that's part of the reason that you see a guy that can do both, and we go out and get a guy like that. So when you're running scout team against my defense that half was running, I think that was important that he saw that Malik can, you know, he can sit in the pocket and sling it, or if we need to run around like some of these other quarterbacks do, he was able to do that and be successful. And so we realize now why half went out and got Malik, and we were wondering at the beginning – when free agency started, you know, if they believe in Malik Willis, that's because, you know, they saw something that they liked from him at Green Bay. And now I realize that he saw a lot of things from him in Green Bay that could probably translate into him being successful both ways. There are very few quarterbacks in the league that are dual threats, that throw it well and run it well. Right. Now, I don't want Malik running all the damn time.
Right.
I really don't. I don't want quarterback sweeps. I don't want any of that stuff, man. But if he has to get out and go, I think we got a guy that can do that. Well, we haven't had that in a long time, it seems like. So, but that was an important part of that interview as well, Big Seth.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It definitely was, and you could see how he feels about Malik, both as a player and as a person. So,
as a person, and that's like you were talking about, Perk, as a person. He loved that guy in the locker room, man. And we're talking about locker room guys.
Perk said, "Made him don't marry him," though. He did say that.
Yeah, he did. I think Perk's on his fifth date right now, Big Seth, and things might start changing. You know what I mean? He's right. I think he's gonna get there. He's gonna get there.
They fall fast.
But to Perk's point though, do you think? And I know we discussed this before. Like, is this going to be a new model? Because it seems like Seattle's doesn't want to pay top of the market for their Super Bowl winning quarterback. You know, and do you think quarterbacks won't go from, you know, 50 to 60, 60 to 70, 70 to 80, it might come back down where they're taking less of the cap so they can have people around them? Because, you know, if obviously 60 million is better than 40 million, but if you're 40 million and you're winning, you're protected, that might be a better situation to be in.
Chad, I hope that's the motto. I hope that's the motto. By the way, I'm drinking Chianti. Somebody asked what Perk was drinking.
Andrew Crowell. Yeah. I'm sure he'll be.
Chad, I hope that that's the motto. I really do, because there aren't enough Bradys and Mahomes to go around. And like I say, look, there's a reason that Jared Goff has been to a Super Bowl and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have not, right? That they have better team. Goff has, but you know what? And Dan Campbell, I mean, as bad a coach you can say he is, as far as, you know, not wanting to punt, bring that up in the fourth down calls, they had a complete team in Detroit. And you know, in LA, they had a complete team. Matthew Stafford got them over the top. After Jared Goff left, but they had a complete team. And so, again, going back to Malik Willis and the defensive coach, that I hope that that's the model for the Dolphins. Chad, I hope that that's the model around the league, because I think that the Dolphins wasted time in two quarterbacks and Ryan Tannehill and Tua trying to turn them into the passing quarterback that they're not.
Yeah.
And we saw when Ryan Tannehill went to Tennessee and all he had to do was hand it off to Derrick Henry, and they developed a defense, and they just needed Tannehill to make a few key plays per game. He goes to the AFC Championship. So I hope that teams see that that should be the model, that there's only a few of these quarterbacks to go around. I mean, look, we recognize that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback. The other three elite quarterbacks are Joe Burrow and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Among those three, there's one Super Bowl appearance, right, with yeah, Joe Burrow, yeah. And he's fed up with his team. He's ready to leave because they don't play any defense. They don't have a complete team. They kind of try to build with Joe and Ja'Marr Chase and the passing game. That doesn't work. So I hope that teams see the Philly, San Francisco, Detroit, Denver model, right? Bo Nix probably would have been to a Super Bowl if he didn't get hurt. He's not going to a Hall of Fame. Well, he's young. I shouldn't say that. But he's not an elite quarterback. So, Chad, I hope teams see that model.
Well, you know, let's pump our brakes a little bit on these teams that are doing those things with these quarterbacks. That here's the thing about it. These quarterbacks have to go out there and make that money their first deal. They have to make that money their first deal, and that's what they're doing. You're talking about these teams you're talking about. You got guys on rookie contracts. You got guys that are, you know, were cast off, that were making a lot of money. And so they were able to build a team because they have more capital. They have more money to do so, you know. So Malik is giving us an opportunity. Of course, we got half our salary cap is in dead money right now. Mm-hmm. Over half our money is there. So – but Malik is at one point, he's going to need a big payday too because he hasn't had one. So when guys get a big payday, then they're able to do things. They renegotiate, push it out 5, 7, 10 years, whatever it might be, and, you know, and bring their cap value down and have team. But you got to pay the piper at some point, you know, at some point. And that's when they make the decision to move on for somebody instead of, like, re-signing or giving them big deals. If you can get a quarterback, we got Malik for 3 years, right? We got a little time to, you know, to figure out some things with some of the guys that we have. And if we, you know, feel like we have 13 draft picks and some more UDFAs, we got some guys that are going to be rookie contracts for a long time, you know. And so we can figure out how we're going to move forward that way. The teams we're talking about here, when Tom Brady was doing this thing, everybody always talked about Tom took less money. He already had a gazillion dollars. His wife had two gazillion dollars. Yeah. You know what I mean?
When you've she's got still no paying child support.
Exactly right. That's me on legal zone. We'll talk about that. But anyhow, you know, they can do that and do favors for their football team. Look what Russ Wilson did to the great team in Seattle by taking all that money. Mm-hmm. You know, and I get it. I'm never going to put my hand in anybody's pockets. But at the same time, though, what it did to his team was gut it. It really – they had to gut it, you know. So – yeah, you can build a team when your quarterback, which, you know, obviously I always say this is the most important position in sports. When he's making all that money, you gotta pinch corners and, you know, and do things, you know, everywhere else that will really kill your team in the NFL. So I'm with you. If we can get Malik to play, was it 3 year, 45, 30 guarantee, whatever his deal is, that's a beautiful deal in the NFL. That's for a starting quarterback. And then we can also build around that. We got a lot of rookie money that's going to be going on. We got to get rid of our dead money next year. This team is making the right strides. They made the right decision at quarterback right now, and it could be the right decision for the future.
But you're right, Juice, but let me say this. So you have a very short runway with Malik and kind of with this team on the rebuild from the standpoint that if you would have gotten Kirk Cousins this year and then got a rookie quarterback next year, you have a 5-year runway, right? You have his 4-year contract and the 5th-year option. Malik is going to want his money after 2 years. If he balls this year or next year, he's going to want $50 million in 2028. And then you're going to have the compounding factors of, okay, well, in 2028, now Devon Achan, your 191-pound running back, is in the 3rd year of his contract. And Jordan Brooks and Aaron Brewer, who are 28 right now, are going to be 31. And so the clock really does start, you know, you do have to start winning next year not only that, we saw what Vrabel did very quickly, right? In New England, and we saw we saw what Liam Cohen did in 1 year in Jacksonville, right?
Right.
We see what's going on in Denver. So, you know, you think you have a long time, 3 or 4 years, but when you look at what other teams have done, first-year coaches or new coaches have done, when you look at Malik Willis and Devon Achane and Brooks and Brew, who are going to, you know, 30 years old, 191-pound running back, $50 million a year, you do have a long time for the rebuild, but you don't. So I think it's kind of one of those deals.
Yeah, but Perk, don't we – go ahead, Big Seth.
No, I was just going to say, I think that – coaches and general managers are very good at telling you that they're in it for the long haul, that they're, you know, they like to create the perspective and the narrative that there is time because they want that time. But they have to know, these are two guys that have been around long enough to know that everybody is day to day in the National Football League.
Right.
And
right.
It's all great right now. And if it's an absolute abomination, people are going to start saying this better start looking like something that makes sense in a year. Because say whatever you want about Mike McDaniel, his team was pretty darn good his first year and even better his second year, and then the wheels fell off. But these guys, it's smart to say the things they're saying, and they should build for the long term. And a general manager, I think, even can say that more than a head coach can, because at some point when you're not winning, they're going to look at the head coach first. But I think we all know, to your point, Perk, that it's not as long of a runway as people think it might be.
Well, yeah, and let me come back in on that, Big Seth. You know, I think this team is smart, and I think Mike Leibold just said the same thing. They know that there's a hell of a draft class next year in quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so no matter what, we could be in the market for another quarterback, a young guy that gives us that four to five-year window again of, you know what I mean, of not having to pay a ton of money. You know, so I think what they've done with the Malik's deal is give us – it bought us so much time. And then you talk about some of the other guys that are going to be looking for new deals. They're not getting those deals at 30, 31 years old when you start bringing up young guys. You bring it up a right. – you know, when you go get a Jacob Rodriguez, you get some of these right. young guys that come in to replace some of these guys. That's how this game has always worked, man. It's always worked that way when old veterans, they got one need or have too much money, they'll move on from them. And hopefully they'll do what they said, draft, develop, and retain some of these guys that they've got. And I think that's the situation that we could have right here, where you've got these draft picks. Hopefully half of them, you know, work out. Grab you a few of these UDFAs to work out. I think they got a really good game plan is what I'm saying. And it started with getting Malik Willis, a really solid quarterback. Nothing great yet. Hopefully something great, but they got a solid quarterback. And now – the rest is like taking care of the other things that are going to make us a better football team without spending a whole bunch of money on different things. And that I think that's critical on what they've with the blueprint and what they've put out there so far, in my opinion.
Well, we shall see, right? That's the great thing. That's why they play the game. So we'll see how it plays out. But that is definitely interesting stuff, and we'll see how it unfolds. So I was going to shift into the Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone, just looking at the time. And I had something on the agenda that I was going to skip over, but now that I'm reading all of these questions about Chad's hair routine,
yeah,
I think it's important that I address this. So, which is very funny because you either have great hair on this show or you ain't got no hair on this show. There is nothing in between. But yesterday, I think I asked. I just was curious. What Dolphins Twitter, who Dolphins Twitter was listening to in their podcast listening. And I kind of put that out there into the Twitter sphere and getting a lot of cool feedback and some things I expected and some new shows that I wasn't quite as familiar with. And then somehow things started to, as everything in Twitter, things just start to fall apart. Right. And unfortunately there's something going on now with TD. There's something going on because somebody was mentioned or they weren't mentioned. And one guy said, stay away from this guy at all costs. But then, I think it was Ghost from Dive Bar said that he felt Kyle Krabs has the best hair in all of Dolphins podcast.
Oh,
and Savak took issue with this. And I feel like we got a couple guys on this show that might have something to say about it. So I want to put it out there for the chat, and we can talk about it here, gentlemen, and then get into the legal zone. But who do we feel top three best hair in Miami Dolphins podcasting? Savak, I know how you feel.
I'll go first, Big Seth, and I'd say Kyle Krabs too, but I did go Savak right next to that. Savak was Krabs, right Savak. There.
Yep. And then Sam Marcoux, I think.
And Sam Marcoux. I like Sam Marcoux's wig too. Mm. You know what I mean? And yeah, it's nice. They got luxury locks going on right there. But I did a thing today with my man Shake Money. He said, "What's up, by the way, Perk?"
Oh, yeah.
Shake Money's got his hair wide open too, man. So Shake's hair, I think I'm just jealous. And then I got, you know, Chaz, my boy, and I can't say he's got nice hair because that's kind of cringe. You know what I mean? You know, that's kind of like, you know, next time I see him at Doc B's or somewhere in the restaurant, right, he's like, "You're just looking at my hair." Now I don't want to have that feeling. You know what I mean?
It's better than when I show up and you smell my hair. That's weird. And you say the botanicals.
Wait a minute.
You smell in my hair. That's even worse.
Hey, I can hear the legal zone question. Chad, show me where OJ touched you.
Whoa. What is happening?
Damn.
So we're getting a lot of, we got Team Bald. We're getting a lot of votes for Team Bald. So shout out for Perk and Juice. We're holding it down here. We're getting Savak is number one from Michael Savak.
I gotta go Savak. Yeah, I gotta go Savak, man. Look at that.
It's nice.
You can say that, man.
Nice. Now, I didn't know this, guys, because I didn't study Italian in school, but Sam Marcoux said that Savak is Italian for great hair. So I
are we gonna believe him on that, Big Seth?
Yeah.
I don't know. We trusted his missionary positions.
Sure did. You heard it here first. You also listened to him when he talked about Subaru owners. Okay.
Mm. Seth, what you're saying, Seth, is true until somebody proves it wrong.
It's right until somebody proves it wrong.
Right until somebody proves it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the great Harvey Green line. So, all right, well, we'll have to see, you know, if we get any more feedback of that on Twitter. But, you know, Kyle Krabs does have he does bring it strong. I think we got to give Omar some credit. Omar put a lot of effort into that hair. They're not extensions, are they, Perk? Can you confirm?
No, that's real. Yeah, that's real.
I hope so.
That's all Jamaican right there.
All Jamaican. There it is. All right. Well, there you go. I had to bring that one up. We will get in. I try to tell y'all in just a moment, but the Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone is next. And please put your questions in the chat. Sam, you're here, so we need a question. But I have to ask you, there is some news. I guess it's kind of NFL, NHL, NIL, college football news. So Shiloh Sanders is in the news with a bankruptcy issue. Chad, can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, and I think it caught some more news because I guess he tried out for some teams and didn't catch on anywhere. And there's a debt that he owes from something that happened in college, and he went into bankruptcy to discharge that debt. But there's an argument over he had this NIL deal with companies, and obviously this is a brand new issue that has never been in bankruptcy court before. And then you throw the Sanders name on top of it.
Right.
So it's going to get national attention. You know, it's a terrible situation, especially for the young man. He actually doesn't own many assets, but there is this one asset of the NIL money, the contract that the money was coming into, whether it was disclosed or not. If it wasn't disclosed, then he can lose his discharge, meaning that debt will stick with him until it's either paid or settled. So it's a little bit of a mess, and it's a cautionary tale of bankruptcy is definitely not one of those things that you just take lightly and jump into and think it's easy, especially when you have a spotlight on you like he does. Whether that's fair or not, obviously he's had some advantages, and obviously this is one of the disadvantages of having that last name and having that heritage, where you're gonna have a spotlight on you when anything negative occurs. Hopefully an agreement. Most situations like this end in an agreement where the creditors want some money and the debtor, the person going through it, wants it to be over. So hopefully a good mediator comes through and works this out, and then this can move on. But it's an ugly situation right now.
And Chad, what is the piece about wanting to restrict evidence? I'm trying to kind of understand. So are there things out there that they don't want out there? I'm just trying to understand what that's all about.
Yes. So in bankruptcy, it is the worst place to hide. Like if you're doing bad things, don't go into bankruptcy, because they're literally allowed to look through all of your financial records for years and years and years. They're every contract that you've entered into, every entity that you worked with. And what they're trying to do is restrict the discovery, if you will, to these different entities that had NIL deals, supposedly with Shiloh Sanders. And I don't think they will be successful, because bankruptcy is one of those things that once you go into it, you're agreeing to the terms that I'm going to put everything out there on the table. And I just want, I want my discharge at the end of the day. So if there's any assets here that you can collect against, take them, but I want to be done with this. So that's the issue that they're dealing with right now is you go into bankruptcy. And that's the other thing that people don't realize. Once you're in a Chapter 7 bankruptcy specifically, you can't just say, you know what, I'm done with this. I don't like this anymore. I'm out. You're in until the court says you're done. And so it can be a very dangerous place to be, especially if you're not disclosing all of your assets.
You know what's crazy to me, Chad, is this. Like, this NIL stuff, man, it's kind of crazy to me, because honestly, I had a $100 limit on my MBNA credit card that jumped up to $500. You know what I mean? And that's all I had going on, man. But these guys, what are they doing? If you've got this NIL money, everything is else paid for, school, you know, every housing, everything is. How the hell do you get into debt like that where you have to file bankruptcy at such an early age, man?
Yeah.
Well, from what I understand, this was a personal injury type lawsuit where there was a fight, there were some other issues. So correct. And 50 Cent had something. It's very different, but it was a video that he released and didn't have the rights, and that's what led to his bankruptcy. So there it usually comes from litigation in situations like this over, and then you lose instead of just the credit card situation. So and unfortunately with cases like this, it's usually very personal. So you can't just settle it like if it were Bank of America or American Express, where they're just looking at numbers. Like this is personal, because it's been years and you know, there's a lot of emotion involved.
Wow, great stuff. So one other question we're going to roll into, I tried to tell y'all, but there's a question in the chat. Shockingly, it's from Sam Marcoux, our good friend Sam Marcoux. He says his son was playing first base at practice and fielding the ball and threw it at the runner and hit him in the head. The runner said he's going to sue. Sam wants to know, is he screwed?
Absolutely. If you raise little assholes and they cause damage, you can get sued for it. Four out of five times, you're going to lose. So stop raising little assholes. Tell them to stop throwing baseballs and creating intentional torts, because your ass is going to get sued. And I'm definitely charging you double when you come in. So here we are.
Too good. Well, that was an epic. I thought the waiver would save me. Unfortunately, Sam, it doesn't look like it will. That was an epic Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone. We're going to roll in. Beautiful. I tried to tell y'all so we can get everything in time here. And as always, I tried to tell y'all is kicked off by the one and only OJ McDuffie. Juice, what'd you try to tell us?
All right, y'all. I tried to tell y'all that shit was way different in 1993 when I had to attend minicamp compared to today's rookie minicamp. For starters, we came in right after the draft. My first trip to South Florida came with lost luggage by a now defunct airline, US Air.
Yeah.
Also included a team banquet. Immediately, I know that no one knew that I had no luggage. So since I had no luggage, the great man and former head of security, Stu Weinstein, took me to a men's clothing store where I rented a tuxedo.
That's so good.
That's so good. Tuxedo.
It was hot as hell, and I took this picture on the beach. This grace to cover the Dolphin Digest, as you just saw a few weeks later. Needless to say, I was overdressed for the event. Great first impression on my teammates, though. The next day, however, was the start of mini camp. You walk into a locker room with your new teammates that you used in Madden just a week ago in your college apartment. These are grown-ass men, fellas, and superstars. Marino, Fryer, Ingram, Keith Jackson, Keith Byers, Marco Coleman, Troy Vincent. I can go on and on, you know what I mean? But I had to go right to practice against these guys. I had to go right to practice against Troy. I had to go right to practice against J.B. Brown, which were two great corners back in the day. And did I mention, again, it was hot as hell out there. So we were also at St. Thomas University. Fans were present right on top of you. And they were vicious. Big Seth knows that. They were vicious. They didn't give you a break, especially a young rookie that was drafted in the first round. So you talk about pressure. So this rookie minicamp coming up, you know, it'll be a breeze. A warm breeze, but still a breeze. They'll be facing dudes like them, you know, deer in headlights, but no grown-ass established cats opposite them like I had to go against. Plus, I don't care if these guys played at Alabama, Texas Tech, San Diego State. It's going to be, like I said before, hot as shit out there, you know? And we are right next to the sun here. I lost 10 pounds my first mini camp, and I was in the best shape of my life. So I encourage these rookie class to go out there and enjoy this weekend before the gams come in. That's right, the grown-ass men, because it's going to get really reeled in. I tried to tell you.
Very nice. Very nice. I'm glad I didn't mess that up too bad at the top of the show. I'm glad I didn't ask you that. Man, I love that Dolphin Digest cover. I got to track the video down of me up that cover. I've got a great video of just me being a surly, smart-ass team holding up that cover. So great stuff. Awesome. All right, who's up? Savak, did you try to tell us anything?
Sure. Hopefully we don't rehash too much here, but let's give it a shot. So I tried to tell y'all, grab a book, maybe a snack, and cancel your plans because this rebuild is going to take a minute. So everybody knows King of the Hill, right? I love that. Especially Hank Hill. You know, I've always said for years, my dad is basically Black Hank Hill. Same energy, similar passion, maybe not for propane, but emotionally equivalent. But Hank gets clowned for being a little square. This is a man who once got hyped because the sport was about the fundamentals. Now, that's not just a quote. That's an entire lifestyle. And honestly, Hank might have been onto something. Because right now, what we're seeing from Sully and Half is a full-on fundamentals era. This team will not be built overnight. Right now, it's kind of IKEA football. Slow, confusing, and while we're not entirely sure where they go, we're fairly certain we're missing a few key pieces. And look, if you've ever seen the movie Uptown Girls, starring Brittany Murphy and Dakota Fanning, then you already know fundamentals are the building blocks of fun. And that's why we're not having fun right now. So before the draft, my wife asked me if I was excited about the Dolphins. And I told her, long term, sure. Short term, not so much. But let's be honest, this season has character building year written all over it. And in sports, character building is just a polite way of saying you're going to suck, but you'll grow. And we've been here before. You guys remember, built patience and also eye twitches and ulcers. Which brings me to our new quarterback's first pitch at the Marlins game.
No.
If you haven't seen it, it was less strike zone and more active investigation. For those of y'all that missed it. ooh, a little high and outside.
Oh man.
Not great.
It was 90 miles an hour though.
Oh yeah, I bet. Now to be fair, this is a complete side quest. It has zero impact on the season. The Dolphins are not missing the playoffs because of a ceremonial first pitch. If that were the case, half the league would be rebuilding annually. But it does make you think. Now, Malik got signed off of flashes in Green Bay. Cool. Much respect. I love that for him. But Miami ain't Green Bay. We don't have their roster. We don't have their protection. We don't have their weapons. We may have drafted some, but rookies aren't exactly known for walking in like, don't worry, guys, I got this. And Bobby Slowick could be great, could be, but the jury's still out. And remember, there was quite a case to be made against him based on last year. The important part is he's not Matt LaFleur. And say what you want about LaFleur. Debate him all day, but when it comes to quarterbacks, that man is a net positive. He helped maximize Aaron Rodgers. In fact, was responsible for two of his four MVP campaigns. Turned Jordan Love into a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. And I mean the old school Pro Bowl, not the you showed up, here's your jersey version. And somehow he got legit production out of Malik last year. And that's not a coincidence. That's environment. And this is a different environment. So expecting Malik to come out looking like last season, that's like expecting your vacation body to show up after one salad. It's not realistic. The team is healing, slowly, painfully, fundamentally. So yeah, grab that drink, get comfy, and maybe start that novel you've been putting off. Because this season might have some fun moments, but it's going to be a long ride. And I tried to tell you.
Savak, they're calling you Debbie Downer in the chat. That's all.
Well, I guess somebody has to be.
Well done. Well done. Very well done. Chad, did you try to tell us anything, or did you just tell us everything in the legal zone?
I got a quick one. So I just got to give a shout out to Spirit Airlines, South Florida, that's closing down. Look, I tried to tell y'all, I enjoyed Spirit Airlines. They got me to a lot of places. They took me to Nicaragua for $1. And that that doesn't happen. Unfortunately, there are thousands and thousands of South Florida employees that have lost their job. And that's the real thing that's going on. So look out for your neighbor. If you're hiring, reach out to these Spirit employees, because say what you want about Spirit Airlines. The employees showed up. They dealt with your bullshit. They got you where you needed to go. And right now, they need the help from South Florida. So I try to tell y'all, look out for your neighbor. The Spirit Airline employees are looking for opportunities. So make sure you reach out.
That's dope. That's dope.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's dope. Hell yeah.
Community service.
Good stuff.
Or get robbed by him. One of the two. No,
hey, he only paid $1, but you should see what his luggage bill was.
Right. Damn right.
$50. I just want to say that with two carry-ons. So, all right, Perk, what did you try to tell us?
All right. I tried to tell y'all that Steve Ross wants to win with the Dolphins. And I bring this up on the heels of the story that the Dolphins are no longer eligible to host a Super Bowl. They are out of the rotation, according to Daniel Silman, the Dolphins executive, because they have too many structures on the Hard Rock campus due to F1 and tennis. Therefore, they cannot host enough Super Bowl hospitality events. Now, fans are using this to say Steve Ross cares more about tennis and F1 than he does about the Dolphins. I don't think that's true. I think Steve Ross really wants to win with the Miami Dolphins. He just hasn't found the way to do it. This year, Steve Ross has gone differently, right? And I've said this before, that when he first got in, he listened to Carl Peterson, the former Kansas City Chiefs president and GM. He listened to a football insider. That didn't work. So then he goes to the football people, right? Jeff Ireland, Dennis Hickey, Mike Tannenbaum, Chris Greer. That didn't work. Now he's kind of gone to some football outsiders in Troy Aikman and Daniel Silman, his son-in-law Silman, who is also an executive with the Relevant Sports Group, which Steve Ross owns. Steve Ross has made some big moves here. He's understood that what he was doing was not working. He does want to win with the Dolphins. Now, look, I will say this. It's a very bad look for Steve Ross to have lost these Super Bowls due to F1 and tennis structures on the Hard Rock campus, because it does feed into that image that he cares more about tennis and F1 than he does about the Dolphins. And I wrote today, the only way Steve Ross can combat that is to win with the Dolphins. I don't care what he does with F1 or with tennis. Dolphins fans are always going to think that those are his new favorite children until he wins with the Dolphins. So fairly or not, Steve Ross has an image problem, but I do believe that Steve Ross wants to win with the Dolphins. And I'll add one more thing. Dave Hyde wrote a short story today about the Dolphins for the first time ever offering single game tickets to fans before the schedule is even released. So you don't know when the Buffalo home game is going to be, but you can buy a ticket for it. That tells me things might not be going well for Steve Ross as far as season ticket sales and the faith that the Dolphins fans have in him. And again, when you have that on top of the news that you can't host Super Bowls, that looks bad for Steve Ross. It's an image problem, but I don't think hosting Super Bowls has anything to do with Steve Ross's desire to win with the Miami Dolphins. He's committed to winning with the Dolphins, but he's got an image problem. And until he wins with the image problem, until he wins with the Dolphins, people are going to think that he cares more about F1 and tennis than he does about the Dolphins. But Steve Ross does want to win with the Dolphins. I tried to tell y'all.
All right. All right. Nice work there, Perk. So a couple things stood out to me.
Yeah, one, go ahead, Big Seth. Yep.
Perk has been masterful at promoting the Sun Sentinel today. He told us that Bronis wrote about the Halfley interview. He just told us to go read the Dave Hyde article. So, yeah, very, very nice work there. For sure. So, and let's clip this Savak and send it to the Dolphins communications department. It'll get Perk some bonus points for saying some nice things about the Dolphins.
They're not happy with me right now. I'm going to tell you that.
Perk, let me ask you this, though. Yep. Let me ask you this, Perk. Being off the rotation, though, don't the Dolphins, doesn't this F1 bring us a Super Bowl every year for the next six years now?
That, you know what?
If you think about that, that's like 30 years down the road. If you get six more years of a Super Bowl, if you're on a rotation of 4 to 5 years, you got six of them coming up right now.
Yep. And that's with tennis and F1. That's what Dave Hyde, my colleague promoting the Sun Sentinel, he framed it as, would you like to have a Super Bowl every 7 years or tennis and F1 every single year?
Right.
I would frame it as, would you like to have a Super Bowl every 7 to 10 years or just win a friggin' playoff game once in 25? So that's, let's get to a Super Bowl. I'd rather play in a Super Bowl than host a Super Bowl.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I want us playing in. I don't care. Agree. I don't give a damn where it's at. It could be in Guam. I just want to be in one. You know what I mean?
The Guam Guamers, baby. Somebody find the Guam.
That's it. Hey, Sarah, why don't you fly us there, baby? Let's do it.
Put it up. Well, they got planes available. We just jump in one of those, charter that thing out.
Well, listen, I caught holy hell all the top of this show for getting in the juices, I tried to tell y'all. But Savak just stole mine. And it's not the Debbie Downer part. But, fellas, I tried to tell y'all that I don't give a damn about Malik Willis's errant pitch. Now, I understand why all of Finn's faithful shared a collective gasp when Willis's pitch to open a recent Marlins game was just a bit outside. And, yeah, it was ugly, particularly when you consider that the man is being paid millions of dollars to, throw a ball. But let's have a little perspective here, okay? Because – just because that Dan the Man Marino would have fired that thing right over the middle of the plate doesn't mean that an NFL quarterback and a major league pitcher share the same skill set all of the time. In the days since Malik's misfire, we've been reminded that Joe Burrow looked more like Macaulay Culkin than Anakin Skywalker at Fanatics Fest. Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes looked human in their first pitch endeavors, right? So just because Malik reminded us of Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn doesn't mean that he won't be a good NFL quarterback. And let's also have some perspective in that the last 5 or 6 years, we had one of the most historically accurate passers in the National Football League with Tua Tagovailoa. You can go look at what those completion percentages are. All anybody ever talked about was Tua's accuracy. And now we're paying him $100 million to play for the Atlanta Falcons. So I don't think we need to get caught up in Malik Willis looking a little bit like Jim Druckenmiller when he threw that ball and, you know, everybody ducked like that. Did you guys see what happened with that monster truck thing the other day where the friggin' Gravedigger goes off to the side? You know, that's what the crowd looked like behind that net there after hit. But go look at the Dolphins, you know, Instagram account and look at Malik Willis' work there. Look at when he's throwing to moving targets, guys who need to catch the football, and see if you like the way it looks there. And I think we're going to be pleased with how it looks. I'm not saying all of a sudden that the guy is going to be Patrick Mahomes, but I think we're going to be pleased with what it looks like when we see it when it matters most. So don't get caught up in the pitches, and hopefully we don't see too many more of those. And I said pitches with a P. Don't get caught up in the pitches. Thank you, Savak. Yes. Just a bit. Oh, my God. Look at the one where he took the mask. Where's Billy DeMarlin? Was Billy DeMarlin okay after that? Don't get caught up in that pitch. And let's just pause for poise. He could have done the Fernando Mendoza. And look, give that guy a lot of credit. Everyone gave him a hard time. He just lobbed that thing. But he saved himself the embarrassment of what Malik Willis, who went for it all. But I like the guts. I like, and that's the guy I want to have the ball in the fourth quarter because he's not afraid. I tried to tell y'all, I don't give a damn about how he throws a baseball. Let's see the man throw a football.
Yeah, Big Sal, I like that. Mm-hmm. It looks like he was throwing the fade right there to a 6'3 receiver finally. You know what I mean?
Hey, let me tell you something, man. Hey, the end zone, that's a touchdown.
If he had thrown that to a right-handed batter, there would have been a benches clearing brawl.
Two things real quick. I threw a first pitch, and I had a better one, and Juice was there for that. And two, what I don't like about it, though, is he made an excuse afterward. And I don't like excuses.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
Chad threw
it to Billy DeMarlin, and Billy has limited eyesight. You know what I mean? Yeah. So when he threw a little high, Billy couldn't adjust to it.
Too good.
Gentlemen. In other words, but Billy was like, what the f-
what the fish? Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll see what happens. We've definitely run long tonight, but great show as always. Juice, I think it's about that time.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for diving in.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Trap, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up.